Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
On the phone line is Paul Greenberg. He's the author of Four Fish, American Catch. He's a lifelong fisherman. And his latest frontline documentary, The Fish on My Plate, co-written by Paul and David Fanning and Neil Dougherty, is about the fish on planet Earth. And it's just lovely. It's so insightful. It's so well done. And it makes you think about some things that maybe you would have passed on before. So kudos to you, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for the really kind words.
Well, it's all true. I mean, you're a lifelong angler. You've enjoyed fishing all along, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up fishing with my dad. I think I caught my first fish at 3. And after my parents divorced, I spent all my divorced dad weekends fishing. So that was sort of our ultimate male bonding experience. But, it actually really sort of set the tone for the rest of my life, because fish and fishing in the ocean is, for me, the way that you reconnect with the wild world. And even when you eat seafood, it's the last wild food. So, I'm fully with the program at this point.
Think about that. When you eat seafood, it's the last wild food. Cows aren't wild. We don't eat. I've never thought about it in those terms. Everything else is sort of industrial agriculture, isn't it?
It's true. And, you know, the thing is, we're at this critical moment, though, where, you know, 50 years ago, everything we ate from the sea was wild. We've just crossed, or we're just crossing now, the border when we will have half of our seafood coming from farms. And that really is just a very, very recent trend. So that's sort of, you know, as somebody who really loves the wild, that has kind of led me into a kind of an obsession, and sort of a through line through two of my books. And it's certainly a through line through the Fish on My Plate frontline docs.
But so. I used to think that when we were getting food from a fish farm, that was better than pulling it from the sea. That's us raising it for consumption rather than over-harvesting the natural habitat.
Well, it should be, and it can be. Certainly when you're catching a wild animal, you're taking it out of the wild and you're killing it. On the other hand, when you go after wild fish, or if you decide you want to make yourself dependent on a wild system, you have to preserve that system. And the thing I always hold up is the example of Alaska, which, you know, still produces hundreds of millions of pounds of wild salmon for us every year. And the reason it does so is because the rivers are undammed and unpolluted, that the coastal areas and estuaries are pristine. And, you know, if you want a lot of wild fish, you got to keep the wild nice. Farmed fish, on the other hand, and farmed seafood can make up a difference if you have a situation where a fish is overfished, where there's too much fishing pressure on it and not enough of a wild habitat to support it. So theoretically, a farmed environment would be a better way of bringing that fish to our plates. Unfortunately, as a species, humans just seem to want more of both. You know, before, you know, we only ate wild, now we eat farmed, and now we eat more of both farmed and wild. So we have to figure out a way how to push down on one pedal and let up on the other one, if you see what I'm saying.
Well, you like and believe in fish. It is a food stuff we should consume, right?
I do. The thing that is not necessarily in the frontline film, but which is in the sort of subject of a book that I'm working on now about omega-3 fatty acids, is that, you know, you might compare farmed fish versus wild fish and, you know, look at those trade-offs. But the comparison a lot of people never make is between all of seafood and all of land food. And when you compare those two potentials, you have real serious differences. Almost any fish, be it wild or farmed, has a lower carbon impact and a lower general natural resources impact than any land food. Like a salmon, more efficient than a chicken, much more efficient than a beef cow. Hmm. So, you know, those are the kind of things and those kind of trade-offs I think we're going to be thinking about a lot in this century ahead.
It's funny you mentioned that. We were eating crickets on the show the other day from a guy who's pushing crickets, and he reminded us that it's 20 pounds of food for 1 pound of beef, and with crickets the equation is much better for everybody. I guess
Absolutely.
It's true for fish too. But when I think about the big picture, I just get sad for the
well,
health.
Go ahead. Here's something to make you happy. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily have to eat crickets. markets. Personally, I'm a huge fan of oysters, I'm a huge fan of mussels. Those creatures, unlike your cricket, actually don't need to be fed anything at all. So if you're looking for the ultimate, most efficient animal that doesn't require anything, there is this whole range of creatures, the clams, the mussels, the oysters, the different kinds of seaweeds, all of those things produce a net gain of protein for the environment without taking any kind of toll.
Well, I get sad for the fish, you know, for the cod and for the ones that we've sort of decimated, and I don't know what the solution to all of that is.
I think it's a kind of a two-tiered thing. The first tier is to get wild fisheries management under control. And as you know, something that comes up in the film is that if you look at the United States, we actually have turned it around with a lot of our species. We went from a country that regularly overfished. And when I say overfished, I mean it's literally like raiding a bank account. In an ideal world, the way that fisheries should work is every year a certain surplus is generated from the wild and we harvest that surplus. The last 40 or 50 years of human development, unfortunately, has been mining the principle, and, you know, that is going into the actual heart of the stock so that no kind of surplus is produced. That we can control and that we have controlled in this country. Unfortunately, 90% of the seafood that we eat in this country is imported, and a lot of the countries we import from don't Right. have that rule of law and don't have those systems in place.
Well, do you have advice for listeners who like fish? They want to help species. They want to help the planet. I mean, I don't know that people think about it in those terms, but maybe we should. What advice do you have for us?
Sure. Well, first of all, I always am a strong believer in wild Alaskan salmon, because when you buy wild Alaskan salmon, you're supporting the pristine environment that allows those fish to exist. They're very well managed. And actually, one major point I have for all shoppers is don't buy wild Alaskan salmon fresh out of season. Wild Alaskan salmon is in season June, July, and August. Any other times, if you see it in the seafood counter, you know, seemingly fresh, it's actually been defrosted. So the better thing to do is to go to the frozen food counter where that fish has been properly processed, fresh out of the water, and buy that. And often you can get it for under $10 a pound, which, you know, again, is more than chicken, but it's worth it because I think it's a healthier protein in the end.
Okay, so I'm going to buy wild Alaskan salmon in season.
Buy your
what
wild
else?
Alaskan salmon. I'm very pro anchovy. I know that's a hard sell
yes, you
to the
are.
American audience.
Much of the film you are pushing.
I'm pushing, but listen, I have one recipe which I call the toucan sauce, which is I hate leftover cans in my fridge. So this is a sauce which is one can of tomato sauce and one can of anchovies. And if you liquefy those anchovies gently in olive oil until they dissolve and then put the whole can of tomato sauce in, the anchovy flavor is only there as a slight note, and yet you've got all your omega-3s in your spaghetti sauce. My 10-year-old son eats it with relish, and he never even asks if
Talk
there are
me.
Fish in there or not.
What about canned tuna?
Canned tuna I stay away from. Now, you know, this is going to be controversial because it is the, I think it's the third most consumed seafood in America, but it's also the highest source of mercury in the American diet. And there's just no way to get around that. The people who support, you know, who advocate for the tuna industry say that because it contains an element called selenium, which can bond to mercury and hopefully render it somewhat harmless in the body, they say that because tuna has selenium, it's not that much of a problem. I have to say, after, you know, one of the things I did for this documentary was to eat seafood every day for a year. I had pretty high mercury, even though I stayed away
really?
From things like tuna. Yeah, because it turns out that all seafood has some, you know,
okay,
at
but
least
then,
trace
well, then
of
what
mercury.
Do I care, right? I mean, if my body can manage enough mercury, maybe that's a red herring, if you will.
I don't think so. I mean, I think mercury will evidence itself, particularly for women of childbearing age and for children. I'm an old 49-year-old fogey who, you know, hopefully my childbearing years are over. But that said, I think we have to be careful of it. I think we can steer away from it. I mean, basically, I've come to the conclusion after, you know, my experiment of eating fish all year was kind of a lark. And really what people should do is conscientiously have two portions of seafood a week. I think if you did that, you'd have maintained low mercury levels, and you could be relatively gentle on
that
the planet
really
if you make the right choices. Yeah.
The Fish on My Plate is a special 90-minute frontline documentary premiering Tuesday, April 25th on Channel 11. It's nice to talk to you. It's fascinating and just really, really well done. I I don't know if people are in the habit of watching these frontline things, but this one's a delight. Well done, sir.
Okay, thank you so much, guys. Take care.
That's Paul Greenberg, and that's his latest work.